God, I thank you for being my father. And I thank you for your son. I thank you for your Holy Ghost, who unites us all as one.
Grace and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I am John Harvey with the Community Homeowners Group to present to you thought-provoking messages that will not only engage your heart, but will dispel age-old myths and unveil hidden truths that unfold the Word of God.
God, I thank you for being my father.
Today's testimony will be delivered by Fran Jose.
A few years ago, I appeared to have a lump or mass on my breast, so I was led to receive medical attention at Jackson Memorial Hospital in Miami, Florida. By the time I was actually seen, I had sat in at least three rooms. The last room was one of women who apparently had been at the hospital for quite a few hours, or even like me, almost all day long. And of course, they were agitated and complaining. To name a few, this doesn't make any sense. Every single time I come here, it's like this. And last but not least, I'm hungry. Now, the latter I could agree with, but I was not led to move during this time. A female housekeeper came in and stood near the front of the room and waited until the room became a little quieter. And she then asked that we be patient and not complain. She then said, "Do you all know what this day is? This is the day that family members come along with the patients to find their fates out, how bad their situations are, how long they will have to live, and to make arrangements. So please be respectful and just thank God that you are in here and not in their situation." That room, when I tell you, became the quietest I had heard all day. And I began to internalize what she was saying. After a long day, on the way home, I began to feel drained. I was physically exhausted and honestly did not know why. All I could do once I reached home was lie down. The following Sunday, I testified to the events that occurred, and it was revealed by my pastor that God was using me in ministry to deliver those women. I at first believed that I was going there for my own personal issues. Not only did the Lord deliver me and send me home without even one prescription, He used me to be able to bless so many other women. Recently, a close friend was faced with the exact same situation I was, a medical issue dealing with her breast. And although she wasn't crying, I could tell by her voice that she was very concerned about the matter. Well, while at her house celebrating her birthday, the Lord had shown me earlier that day at church that I needed to minister to her as well as pray. Now, this is a young lady who is saved and who believes in the Lord and also has been taught, as I have. But does that mean that those of us who are always, who are saved, that we always hear as we ought? No, that doesn't. And I can testify to that fact. But what God was doing was testing her level of faith. At the very beginning of this situation, not only should she had lifted that situation before the Lord, but she should have been believing that her deliverance had already come. What more should any of us do or believe when we are faced with obstacles? Do we pick and choose what we will allow the Lord to do in our lives? Or do we allow God to be the God that He has always been, allowing Him to work all matters out? I then spoke to her a week later, and I asked, had the results come in? She said she had spoke to the doctor's office, and they said that there was nothing for her to worry about. I then began to praise the Lord. She also said that she was waiting to see physical evidence of what they had said. But for me, there was no need for the physical evidence. God was not only ministering to her, but he also was teaching me a very valuable lesson. Who knows to whose detriment it would have been had I had not carried out the words of the Lord. She could have suffered as well as I for being disobedient. Because you see, with obedience, there is no need for sacrifice. Lord, I thank you right now for choosing to use me to be a blessing unto your people. And with that, I say peace.
Today's song is Behold, the Unity Song.
Grace and peace from God our Father, and of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is common for people to say that they are just searching. This is because most people come to a place where there is a void in their lives. Whether one experiences the void, young or old, it is certainly a feeling familiar to mankind. People use many different things to try and fill the voids felt in their lives. Some people latch on to drugs and alcohol. Other people try to fill it by building successful careers. Also, there are many people that try to fill the voids in their lives with other people. All of the aforementioned void fillers are cries from the soul for fulfillment. The last option I mentioned, being the one of finding other people, appears to be the best option because many people believe that finding their soulmate will bring them unmatched bliss. And some even believe that this will bring them eternal bliss. Surely, such a mate for the soul must exist. Let us examine this thought a little further. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and 23, it reads, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray that your whole spirit and soul and body be presented blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." So essentially, a person is made in three parts: spirit, soul, and body. That being established, people look for attractions in all of the three parts. Some people are just looking for someone they can be attracted to physically in terms of their body, their eyes, just different natural features, or physical features more or less. Others want a connection of souls. So most of the time, when people say that they are looking for a soulmate, they are looking for comfort in another soul that they feel to be compatible with their soul. A soulmate is seen as a divine one that is destined for one particular person, or someone with whom one has a special, almost spiritual connection. Sometimes people mistake a connection of the soul as one orchestrated by God through the spirit, because both the soul and the spirit are unseen, as opposed to the body. And so it may be easy to distinguish whether you're attracted to someone on a physical level or not, because, you know, you see them for the first time, you don't know them, and it's like, wow, you know, look at the curves on that lady. And so automatically, if you think back, you're able to say, okay, you know, what attracted me was the way this lady looked. But because the soul and the spirit now are unseen to the eye, some people can believe that this is even a spiritual connection ordained by God, whether it could be the soul or not. For we are told that the soul is a wicked soul unless covered by the spirit. Because the question arises now is whether or not another soul is the answer for voids and the unrest that people have in their own souls. And so, as I was saying, the Bible says that the soul is a wicked soul unless covered by the Spirit. And we can go to Romans 13 and 1, and it says, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God." And in the second verse it says, "Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation." And so it's basically saying that every soul should be subject unto the higher powers of God. And so the soul in and of itself is wicked unless it's subject unto the higher powers. And of itself it goes forth in the works of the flesh. And we know that there is no good thing in the flesh. When the Lord made Adam, he was said to be a living soul. What is significant about this is that the Lord breathed into Adam the breath of life, which is the Holy Spirit. As long as Adam had the breath of life, which is the Holy Spirit, his soul needed nothing and was empowered by that breath of life. And so in the original intention by God, man was to have a living soul as Adam did, that was sustained by that breath of life, that was sustained by God's Spirit. But nowadays, it's not the case because of the fall of man. So when Adam came out of that place in which God designed for his spirit, soul, and body to be aligned up with, then Adam fell to a lower state. And as a result, the whole of mankind fell along with Adam. And now everyone, if not born again through Christ, they would still be in that state in which their soul is now in a disconnect with God. And so basically when one declares that he or she is in search of a soulmate, one is basically in search for someone who will fulfill his or her needs. The anticipated one is perceived to be like a perfect fit to a jigsaw puzzle. And so the soul seeks to please itself all the time and contains one's emotions and wills. And this makes the soul of itself very susceptible to failure, because we know that, you know, emotions and things like that are unbalanced. It's definitely something that gives room for holes in that system. So in theory, if one were to be living his or her life from the level of the soul and is looking for one to match that soul, then he or she may be setting themselves up for an even bigger failure. And so we know the nature of the soul. You can even look at some of the people in Hollywood. Oftentimes, people have jewelry, and the people get caught up in the glitz and the glamour of jewelry and money, and that satisfies them for a little while. But then you find out, oh, they're now on drugs. Oh, they're now checking into rehab because their soul is not satisfied. The things of this world only give them a temporary satisfaction. And you even see that some of them, or even, not even to say Hollywood, but I mean people in general, many people get engaged or get into relationships believing that this person is really going to fill the voids in their lives. And the person may fill the void in their life for a time. But after a while, you're able to see what a person is really made of, what the relationship is really made of through the tests of time. And so a lot of the times, it's just a temporary fix. And the soul now is like, all right, you know, I used up that resource. Now I'm looking for the next thrill. I'm looking for the next thing. And so many men get caught up with multiple partners, even if they had a first wife, because their soul isn't satisfied with that one wife. Their soul says to them, look, I need something better. It's like you can get married to a woman, say, in 1990, and then say 5 years later, it seems like women now are built different. Like, where were these women when I got married? And so that would be the deception that would come onto the soul. And now the soul is like, you know, I want that new thing. You know, this old thing isn't satisfactory anymore. And so the soul is wary, man, and always seeking to find rest. And in the soul's search for rest, it is never satisfied and will always be seeking the next thrill. And so, definitely, as I stated earlier, the soul now has to get back into that place in which it was when Adam was connected unto God. And so, in the beginning, you saw that there was a breath of life. There was life from God that came unto Adam's spirit. And through Adam's spirit, having that life of God, it was able to empower the soul also to have that same life that it had. And, you know, when the spirit and soul are one and following the things of the Lord, then the body, as a tool, can be used for the work of God. We're able to see how Adam was able to be used to name all of the animals, to subdue the earth, and to really be the man that God had called him to be in the beginning. You know, and as long as he stayed submitted and was obedient unto God, nothing, he had no problem, he had rest. And so if mankind now is able to get back to that place where their soul is submitted now unto the spirit, then mankind can also find rest. And mankind wants to be self-sufficient and rely on themselves. God is saying, come unto me and I will give you rest. And mankind is saying, no, we'll find rest with each other. You know, they believe that they can also understand the ways of God through their own intellect. I mean, when Jesus Christ came unto Nicodemus, he was able to tell him to come down and to be born again. And, you know, Nicodemus was like, can I come out of my mother's womb once again? Because the things of the spirit aren't things that I understand by the natural mind. And so to be born again now is to be renewed, is to be reconciled and restored unto God, coming back unto that place in which mankind was in the beginning, in which you're able to have a cool of the day discussion with your maker. And so the soul's perfect mate is essentially the same one it may have rebelled against. When one does not allow Christ to be formed in his or her heart, then that heart will become darkened. And once the soul continues to commit sin, it becomes more and more self-sufficient and more dominant. And so as the soul continues to act out in this revolt and continues to be that strong man in a man, then the soul will seek to dominate the spirit and to really shut it down and hold it bondage. And so this is why now it's important that we're able to see how, you know, that life that comes from God unto the spirit needs to also come unto the soul, so that the soul doesn't cause itself to never find rest, basically. And so when the soul and the spirit are considered one, it is as a wife submitting to her husband, as unto the Lord. And so you can even find that in Ephesians 22, where it says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. And verse 25 says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. And if you ask yourself, you know, how can the spirit really be that quencher to the soul? And you're able to see in Matthew 11 and 28, it says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. And so, you know, the scripture is really telling you that, hey, you can only find that rest for your soul in the Spirit of God. And so one of those misconceptions, a big misconception, is that, you know, finding another soul would be that thing to bring the rest. But in Matthew 11, it is showing you something higher than the soul that is able to bring true rest. And so in that Ephesians 5 and 22 scripture, one can see the wife and husband in each person. The wife is styled as the soul and the man as the spirit. And so husbands are admonished to love their wives as Christ had loved the church and still loves the church. And Jesus Christ can be seen as the ultimate example, because in the life of Jesus Christ, you're able to see how he was able to come into that place where his father said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. And so over the time before Jesus was in his early 30s, you know, he had to also submit his soul unto his father, so that through his spirit he was able to be made, and his soul was able to be taught the things of God, to the place where God was able to say, you know, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. And so in that relationship, you're able to see how Jesus Christ did amazing things. He did exploits. And he was able to say that greater things will ye do. But we won't do any greater things if we try to do them of ourselves or of our soul alone. But if we allow ourselves, just as Jesus Christ had allowed himself to be taught, his soul was taught by way of the Spirit. He was taught the things of the Lord, and he was able to go forth. And if we humble ourselves to the place where the Lord is able to teach our souls through our spirit, firstly being in a spirit of humility to learn, then I believe we'd be able to be the more blessed as believers, and we'd be able to go forward in a strong walk before the Lord. Hence, one can draw the conclusion that the soul needs one who is able to bring it true rest. Where can one find such a mate for the restless soul? One can search the world 10 times over and still not find his or her soul's perfect mate. This is because the soul's perfect mate must be revealed unto that soul. Jesus Christ's confession was that I do nothing of myself. You know, I do nothing within my own soul, but I only do what I see my Father do. Jesus Christ's soul's mate was able to lead him to be empowered even beyond death. Have you found such a one? Have you found your soul's perfect mate?
The production you have just heard has been developed from many revelations from the Little Book series, The Law of Natural Anointing, which Jesus, Heavenly Messages for Overcoming Death, authored by Dr. Daryl G. Hunt. We pray you have been edified by the words spoken on this day, and that your heart is inclined to want to know more.
I'm thankful every day for all of your blessings.
For all of your blessings.
God, I thank you for being my Father.
Thank you for your Holy Ghost, who unites us all as one.
God, I thank you for being my Father.